Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Third hour, hour number three on this Friday around the country. Tiki and Tierney show what's happening. And we're coming to you from, as we always do, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, the Tiki and Tierney studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Yep, Rocket can. We can as well. Good 2 hours so far. Good topics. Some depressing, like college football losing from the Big Ten point of view, the non-conference games, which obviously takes away from the theater of the season, but is what it is. You got to adjust, got to adapt. And Kenny Smith's take on LeBron James, which was pretty out there for most, and Teek and I kicked that around a little bit. If you missed anything, where he actually had LeBron as the 10th greatest player of all time, radio.com, Apple iTunes, you missed anything. Speaking of missed, this is the first time I almost missed the start of the segment.
Did you really?
Yeah, there's like that internal clock. You know when it's late.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not to mention there's actual clocks in the house. So you just take a look at them. But every Friday is pizza night during the quarantine, right? And what we do is sometimes we'll order, but at least twice a month, we'll do like a pizza challenge. The kids will make their version,
nice,
and then Jen and I will make one of ours. And obviously, I'm on the air, but the kids prepped everything with Jen. They go kind of conventional. We'll take some chances, whether it's tomatoes, whether it's other vegetables, etc. So the one time we did it, the crust wasn't quite up to dad's satisfactory. I don't know how else to say it. Well, half Italian, I got to have a good crust. It was a little doughy. Because what happened was we forgot to bake. I guess you bake it by itself, and then you actually put it in with the gravy and everything. So I walked out during the last break, and I said, because I'm getting hungry, I'm like, oh, pizza's coming along. I was actually kind of hoping for a slice. But the Jen's like, nope, they're pre-baking in the oven. I said, oh, nice. So I took a look at them. I'm like, well, there's no olive oil on here. And Daddy had to come to the rescue. I had to spread the olive oil around. This way it kind of soaks into the bread. You need some oil. So that's what Daddy was doing. And when Daddy walked back in, I actually heard our open playing in our ear. I'm like, wow, I was close. That was the latest that's ever happened. So, all right. Jim Harbaugh has said a couple of interesting things the last few days, right?
Yeah. No, a few of some of them, you're kind of shaking your head. But one was really interesting, BT. And I was going to get to this yesterday, but I figured it would be good to have a conversation with you to toss it back and forth, because we have our... we both have our opinions about Jim Harbaugh, and we know he's a really good coach.
Yep.
And it was on trajectory towards being a great coach. I don't know if he's there right now. He's really, really, really good. He's just outside of great. If he has some wins and beats these rivals at some point in his career at Michigan, then I think we can put him in the great category. But we always have these speculations about, oh, when's it going to become too much? Or when's he going to bounce? And when's he going to go back to the NFL? Or, ridiculously, people like to put him on the hot seat. He's not going anywhere. But he talked a couple days ago, about before the coronavirus, he was actually getting ready to sign an extension. Here's Jim Harbaugh.
I think there's bigger fish to fry for our athletic director, for our administration, for getting me as a coach. I mean, It hasn't been on the top of the priority list, but I would expect something. There would be an announcement at some time.
Have you and Ward had any concrete conversations about an extension even before the pandemic?
Yeah, it was right there, in last February it was being discussed, and then and the pandemic hit, and it's been not as high on the priority list. So
I love his delivery.
forthright, too.
I know. But
pretty conversational about pretty important stuff.
Yeah, but his delivery is just kind of, I don't know. It's unique. It's interesting to listen to him talk. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the question that comes from this is, you know, does he deserve an extension with the University of Michigan? My gut is yes. You know, it's not like, he hasn't achieved what ultimately he was brought there to do, which was win a Big Ten title and then get to the college football playoff. But it's not like they've been horrible, and mm-hmm. it's not like they've been irrelevant. They've been significant. They just can't win that one game and get to the college football playoff. That one game obviously being against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Does he deserve an extension? I think without question, the answer is yes, because the alternative is probably not as good as what Jim Harbaugh was giving you.
Here's one thing about Michigan football. The history is romanticized and embellished, and put on a level that is not really equal to its achievements. Mm. Like, we thrust Michigan in there. We get it, 110,000 seats, the big house, great history, couple of Heisman winners, blah, blah, blah. You give Bo Schembechler, we understand. Lloyd Carr did a great job for the most part. But, you know, Michigan is in tier two. They're not in tier one. You got to win championships to be in tier one.
Yeah, agreed.
You got to win championships, or at least you have to play in them. And that doesn't happen. I mean, Jim Harbaugh hasn't won a bowl game since 2015. Wow. He's lost four straight bowl games.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he won his first year. I believe it was the Citrus.
Uh-huh.
And then he lost, for sure, four in a row. Now, you and I have talked about the swings and momentum and great start, that a ton of guys went to the NFL. They lost the whole defense, and he hasn't found his quarterback, hasn't beaten Ohio State, blah, blah, blah. We know what's happened, so we don't need to just, like, recite history. To answer your question directly, does he deserve an extension? Even with a few, and warts is a bit of a strong description, but a little bit of an element of underachievement, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does, because you know why? Who are you going to get after Jim Harbaugh?
Exactly.
Who's going there?
Well, no one with the personality that he has. I'd have to go... I haven't looked at his recruiting classes lately.
I'll pop it up for you.
Yeah, just pop it up.
You can finish your thought. I'll find it for you.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I know it's been lackluster for the quarterback position, which is the one position that we knew that if he got a real one, if he got Trevor Lawrence, so to speak, or you know, just as an example, if he got a Trevor Lawrence out of a recruiting class, man, who knows how good his offenses could have been, because we know what he can do with really good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We've seen this at all levels that he's been at. But, you know, at the end of the day, Jim Harbaugh, as quirky as he is, he's a great recruiter. And I think, you know, you keep a program that hasn't won the rivalry game in Michigan against Ohio State, and even against Michigan State for some of those years, it takes some convincing, right, of the kid who has the option to go someplace else. He's still getting these guys. So he's a great recruiter. We know that for a fact. But it's about winning, ultimately, that big game. And I don't know anybody else who's going to recruit as well and keep them as close to relevant as Jim Harbaugh would right now.
Listen,
an extension is deserved.
Yep.
And I think he should be there for as long as he wants to be there.
I agree with that, for sure. You know, the thought about him going back to the NFL, I thought that was
he's
much
still
more,
on it.
Nah, I don't feel that anymore. He's
I don't
not,
either.
Not he's definitely not old by any stretch. And he's even when he is old, he's going to be very energetic for an older person.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue. But I think what's happened, you know, Jim's style, and this is part of the problem, and not me, and maybe not finding the proper quarterback either. You know, you think about when he was really at his apex with the 49ers. Greg Roman, ball control offense, Frank Gore, good offensive line. You know, don't turn the football over with Alex Smith. Obviously, Kaepernick came and played very well when he did. You had Vernon Smith, Vernon Davis as a seam cutter tight end who could run. But, you know, the wide receiver cast, you know, Randy Moss for a minute, Teddy Ginn for a minute, it was kind of revolving. It was built on defense and ball control.
That's right.
And the NFL's not built that way anymore.
No.
So I don't know that he's viewed as this. You know, I don't know that he's viewed as this asset from the NFL lens that he was a couple of years ago, unless, here's the only way that I would give him a borderline blank check in the NFL. If I'm a team that is directionless, right? Like, you know, if the Browns, and I think they'll be good this year, but if the Browns just, if it just implodes.
And lay an egg. And
they're 5-11, and it's this disaster. Guys want to get traded, and there's a real need for a culture overhaul. I still think that's his best quality. Respect, not many penalties, a commitment to the team. But I don't view him as a must-have coach in the NFL the way I did a couple of years ago.
Well, the only way I can see it, and look, we're seeing a little bit of this evolution. Kyler Murray is this kind of player where if he needs to, he can get it done with his legs. I mean, he rushed for over 500 yards, I think, last year, Kyler Murray.
It was like top three or four in the NFL. Yeah, it was five.
Exactly. So Kyler Murray kind of fits the bill to be able to be coached under a Jim Harbaugh-type system. Obviously, Lamar Jackson does. And Greg Roman, who you mentioned, who is Harbaugh's offensive coordinator with the 49ers, is now the offensive coordinator of the Ravens. So it would have to be a situation like that where the team is gearing around a running quarterback. Not every team is going to do that. I think we're going to get maxed three or four of those in the National Football League at any time. Yeah. Maybe it evolves like 3 or 4 years from now, and then maybe Jim Harbaugh makes sense coming back. But I agree with you. The offenses in the NFL are how many wide receivers can we put on the field? And if we have a running back, he better be able to be kind of like a wide receiver. That's not Jim Harbaugh's MO. I think his strength is in college because of who he is and how he instills these characters in these young men who are trying to win something. And they haven't reached the ultimate goal. But it's not always
not
about
even
that.
Close. Really,
I know he's
not
even
close,
but it's not even always about that. And I think,
in Michigan, when you're getting $8 million a year, it's got to be about that a little bit.
Yeah, but brand. But he's sustaining the brand. That's my point.
Okay,
he's sustaining the brand.
I got you.
When was the last time they won a national title? 97?
97.
I think it was 97. So I mean, it's been a long time.
Lloyd. Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a
they
long
had a couple
time.
Of different. Rich Rod didn't work out.
Right.
I mean, they had a couple codes. Brady Hoke wasn't very good.
And so go look at where they are now versus. Yeah. Where they were in those years since they won that last national title. I think they're in the conversation. Kids want to go there.
Okay.
The program has relevance, and Jim Harbaugh is a coach that has a voice. And I think that's important on the national stage. And I think that's important, and that's why he deserves an extension.
But let me ask you this, and I'm not even trying to debate you because I really do agree with you. I think he's great for the school. I love the guy. I don't know how else to profess my admiration. I love his attitude. He treats, young high school student athletes and then eventually freshmen like young men. He expects a lot out of them. He drives you hard, but he's got your back. I'm just a Harbaugh fan, but I'm not a Harbaugh apologist here. So I want to read you two things. So you talk about the recruiting, which I'll get to. I have it in front of me.
Yep.
And also the finances of it. Now, Dabo, if there's a season this year, I was getting paid anyway, but Dabo, number one, $9.3 million. Dabo's number one. Nick is number two. Nick Saban's number two. Eddie Orgeron, rightfully so, is now number three. And Jim Harbaugh is number four in terms of the highest paid head coaches in college football.
Okay.
Now, a couple of years ago, that would have made complete sense. Keep in mind, I'm telling you, Jim Harbaugh is number four. He hasn't won a bowl game in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you asked me about the recruiting before. Well, how was Jim doing? Well, let's see. Did Jim sneak into the top five? No, he didn't sneak into the top five. He's got to be in the top 10, right? No, he's not in the top 10 yet right now. He's got to be 11, 12. No, he's 13, which is not horrendous, but they've got 0 5-star recruits. And I'm assuming that this database is right, 24/7 sports.
Yeah.
Georgia's got four.
That's us, right? That's
the best one.
Yeah, that's the best one.
Baton Rivals.
Yep.
You got Georgia's got 4 5-stars. Alabama's got 4. Clemson's got 5. LSU's got 3. Buckeyes have 3. A&M has 2. Texas and Florida have 1 apiece. Oregon has 3. So no 5-star recruits. Okay, you don't always need 5 stars to win, but 0. You're 13th, aggregate rating right now, which is not that good. That's not great. You're the fourth highest paid coach. And you've lost 4 straight bowl games. So I hear you when you say his messaging is on point. He's great for the school. He's a great extension. He went there. He's smart. Cares about the kids. Cares about academics. But, Michigan's not one of these programs where when they're really bad, they go from 110,000 people there to 62. Like, that place is almost – I know that there's some pockets when they're not good at the end of Rich Rod.
But what you're saying is people are going to be
there.
They're
going to make money no matter what.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
No matter who's coaching.
Yeah.
You're not going to get better than Jim, but I thought he would be a little bit better. That's what I'm saying.
I don't disagree with that, but at the end of the day – I can't see them going anywhere with anybody else. Maybe someone comes in and puts a little bit of a jolt and helps them jump up to the next plateau. But I don't know who that is off the top of my head.
I don't either.
And if you're Michigan, are you going to go search for it? Now, the other thing that Jim Harbaugh said, which was, I don't know if I buy this one, but he essentially said, I don't know if we have a cut on this one or not, but he essentially said that, you know, playing football, you can't transmit the virus. It didn't make sense. Here's Jim Harbaugh, I think, trying to explain this.
COVID is part of our society. Wasn't caused by football or caused by sports. And there's no expert view right now that I'm aware of, or that are agreeing expert views that sports is going to make that worse. It's part of our society. We're going to have to deal with it. And these kids have to do the same thing. They've got to go to school. They've been training their whole lives for the opportunity to play their sport. And that's my view with it.
What the hell is he talking about?
I got to be honest. I have zero issue with that. I have no issue with that. You know why? Can I tell you why?
Go ahead.
Because that comment, and I understand why that's what we would play. It's a little more salacious, or however you want to frame it, a little bit more controversial.
It's not controversial.
Well, whatever
it's just,
it is,
it's just, I don't know. It's
some people would say it's some people would say it's a little ignorant.
I don't think it's ignorant.
No,
I'm
saying some people.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people would say it's a little arrogant. Like we can plow through it. We're tough football players. Some people say some people think it ignores science, but which it might. But here's the other part of the quote that's not played. He says, now, if it comes to a point in time where you say that I can't play and we can't play, and it's obvious, it's clear, then everybody would be reasonable and know that that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But why would you put that part in there? Because it's not interesting.
Yeah, well, that's just the reality of it. If people say you can't play football, you're not going to play football. The thing that makes this interesting is that contact sports, and I mentioned this earlier, BT, New Mexico, the governor is saying that there will be no contact sports. So that includes football. And I think also soccer.
It's got to include soccer.
They're banning them for the fall in New Mexico.
High school,
not, okay. Not college. So just high school sports.
Gotcha.
Which, makes sense. Contact sports, they do transmit fluids. And so the likelihood of being, if someone has the coronavirus, passing it on is probably high. But we've seen this in Europe. And I had Thomas Rongen on yesterday, who was our CBS HQ soccer reporter, talking about the Champions League, the UEFA Champions League, that doesn't just come to the CBS property.
Great acquisition for the company.
Huge awesome. Acquisition. But yeah. They've been in the Bundesliga, which I've been talking about for 2 months now, or a month and a half.
More
they've
like
been
four.
Yeah, they've been talking. They've been playing, though.
I know.
Right? And same thing in the EPL. They've been playing. Mm-hmm. And soccer is a contact sport. We're not seeing transmission rates, increase. So Jim might be right. It sounds crazy what he's saying, but he actually might have a point.
He might.
And we still need more research on this. And if they find out, if what he's saying is actually true, all of this doom and gloom that we started our show with maybe changes a little bit down the line.
That'd be nice. I'd be down for that. We all would. Let's continue the conversation about Harbaugh and about the Big Ten's decision to get rid of the non-conference games. Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network will join us next. That'll be a good spot. Stick around. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on this Friday is 1-855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com. We've got some questions and some things to discuss. We know the news out of the Big Ten as they cancel the non-conference games. With the amount of positive tests with COVID-19 soaring, it seems like the logical, responsible thing to do. I think the scary step will be to ask what's next, and maybe we'll get some answers with that. And the Harbaugh stuff as well. Big Ten Network analyst, former player, Howard Griffith. Howard, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Great. We are doing good, Howard. This decision by the Big Ten to focus on only conference only is going to have, I think, a huge national impact because of some of the national games that they were going to play Washington and others outside of it, Alabama. You know, what impact do you think this has ultimately on the likelihood of a season going forward?
Well, I think it's going to be part of it, and I think there's so many, I would say, let's call them tracks that I think all the commissioners of all the conferences are going down. And I think ultimately for me, from my perspective, I thought that it was going to be best for conferences to play conference-only games from the standpoint that then it could be universal testing amongst those member conferences. And there's without a doubt going to be an issue with some of the group of five being able to test their testing protocols based against some of the other conferences out there that may have more revenue and more resources that may test 3-4 times a week versus a conference that may only test once a week. And, you know, it is unfortunate because I think if you just look at the MAC conference, who has huge ties with the Big Ten, I think you're talking about contracts or missing those games or somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 to maybe $20 million in guarantees that those MAC universities were going to go straight to their bottom line. So this is a significant decision, but I think ultimately it's the best decision for the Big Ten to try to give themselves some flexibility in being able to make up games and maybe pushing the season back just a little bit to buy some more time.
Yeah, you know, Howard, it's interesting that you say that about the MAC conference, because it almost is as if there are unintended consequences of this decision by the Big Ten, but also it looks like the Pac-12 is going to follow suit. The ACC might do this as well. Those, you know, quote-unquote buy games might force some of these other, you know, smaller schools, group of five schools, to not play football in the fall and follow what the Ivy League has done. You think that's a possibility?
I think it's very realistic, or even worse. I mean, they make it through this year, but they may not be able to continue on. This is significant, and you look at it across the board, no matter what level you're looking at. We've never, I don't believe the universities have ever looked at a situation where revenues weren't continuing to go through the roof, right? There was always building, you know, having a chance to get around all these campuses, the 14 Big Ten conferences during the spring, during the fall. There's always cranes. There are cranes everywhere, constant building going on, not just around the athletic facilities, but the university as a whole. So they were accustomed to these revenues continuing to soar. And I'm not sure that, you know, we're taught as young people growing up, you always got to have that rainy day fund. You got to have that 6 to 8 months to a year of backup for you. And I don't think universities necessarily have had to look at anything like that because of the way revenues and incoming tuition fees that were coming in. They haven't had to face that type of situation as they are facing right now.
Yeah, so we're talking to Howard Griffith, two-time Super Bowl champ in the NFL, Illinois roots. By the way, for the Illini, but if you this wouldn't, how awful would this be? You guys showed some real life last year, right? The games you lost, you almost won a lot of them. Nobody's going to forget that great game with Wisconsin when you beat them. That was sick. I mean, that turned the entire country over on its back. But and the recruiting energy, I think, is pretty good. You could make the case that of all the schools in the Big Ten, Illinois really needs this season because for the first time in a while, they've got some momentum.
You've got a little momentum. Yeah, no question about it. But, you know, there's some other teams out there. I mean, you mentioned Illinois, but you look at Purdue, who I think has one of the most explosive players that didn't get a chance to play a lot, Rondale Moore, who I think if he decides to come out next year, it's going to be a first-round draft pick. He can do it all from the receiver position. Is really dynamic and help in the return game. But they have a stable of wide receivers that can make plays. What Coach Brohm has done over Purdue has really been remarkable. They just need to get their defense together because they've been able to score points when they're able to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of great storylines that are coming up, but it's going to be tough.
Love the conference. I mean, I've been to a lot of the stadiums. The Big Ten is my favorite conference. I'm not saying it's the best. That's the SEC. But the Big Ten's probably Big Ten's probably my favorite. Let me ask you this, Howard. Because Teak and I were debating this before. Like, to me, if you play one game this season, that you, then you have to construct a path for a national championship. And Tiki's point was, and Tiki, tell me if I misrepresent, I don't think I will, that without the non-conference games, it's really hard to deduce which teams are truly championship viable. It's very hard to get a committee that anoints the four best teams. And even though Tiki might be right with that, if we're going to play any part of a season, I got to have at least a path for a championship. Where
but
do you stand?
But it's also the staggering of the conference schedule. We have no idea when teams are starting and when they're finishing, and you know, how do you have any congruency?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And I think, quite frankly, this may just be one of those years where it's going to be a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, even more so than it has been in previous years or even going back to the BCS era. You know, I think conferences are ultimately, you know, getting rid of these non-conference games also gives them the ability to move games around, show some flexibility. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw some of the traditional rivalries that you normally would see late in the year that you may see earlier. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So I think the conferences that have the most flexibility are the ones that are going to be able to try to maneuver through this. With all that being said, we look around the country and, you know, the positive test rates are continuing to climb.
Yeah.
So we don't know. I mean, it's not like we're 3 months ago and we could say, okay, let's wait a minute. We still got time. We know right now we've got the WNBA, the NBA. We've got hockey also, you know, MLS soccer.
Golf.
Baseball trying to get going, golf. So I think these conferences are all looking at one another. And they're all working with, I believe, on multiple tracks to how to have a successful season, even to the point where you move it to the spring, which creates another set of issues.
Yeah.
When you start to talk about eligibility for players, when you talk about scholarship counts for schools. So, I mean, this thing is just it's obviously we've never seen anything like this before. I think the most important part is that not only we're able to keep the students safe, but the student athletes, we're not putting them in a situation where they're risking their health. They're risking the health of their family members that want to support them all the time, each and every week.
Yeah.
But it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. We were having a conversation, Howard, about Jim Harbaugh before you came on. And, you know, part of it was about, you know, some of his comments that physical contact doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to pass on and you could pass on the coronavirus. But the other side of it was he was about to sign an extension before the coronavirus pandemic hit. And we were debating, and not really debating because I think we both agree, like, he deserves an extension. I don't see Michigan going in another direction. Despite some of his failures, the team has been relevant. Michigan is always in the conversation. Is he fully justifying his $8+ million salary? It's open for debate, but he deserves an extension with Michigan and should be there as long as he wants. Correct?
I think so. I think, you know, a lot of people will point to the inability to beat Ohio State is in some fans' eyes is fireable offense, but that's nothing new when we talk about the Michigan Ohio State rivalry. Right?
Yes.
That's not new. It's not realistic, but that's that fan base. And to me, I mean, he's obviously, Coach Harbaugh is very polarizing, but one of the things that I have a great deal of respect for him for is, you know, he's always, for the most part, on the side of the student athlete. And even as far as taking his teams, you know, we talk about these spring trips that they take, and whether it's to South Africa, whether it's to Rome. Tiki, you guys know this. There's really, I don't care how much money that you make as a professional, those bowl trips, those trips that you took with your teammates in college, are some of the best trips we had.
You're
because
right.
For some degree, things were so pure, and you were with your buddies, and you know, we were sitting there. I can remember, Tiki, we went out to California, right? And we're playing USC, and we're staying in a 5-star hotel. We don't know it's a 5-star hotel. We're complaining because we got to get in a golf cart to get to our room.
Oh, that's funny. It's like, I mean, the elevator should be right here.
It should be right here. What are we doing? Why do they have 8 floors here? This is a problem. So So from that perspective, being able to expose team to all the things that are going on out in the world and allow them to have that opportunity, you know, with their teammates, to me is terrific.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he makes a lot of money. He's there to win a Big Ten championship. That hasn't happened. He's there to win a national championship. That hasn't happened. But I still think he does an unbelievable job for Michigan football. And he is, when you talk about marketing, I don't know if they could have spent enough money for the marketing dollars that he has generated just from being Jim Harbaugh.
We're on the same page, complete same page with that, really with everything. Howard, good spot. When there's a season, if there's a season, we'll certainly utilize you a little bit more. Good conversation, buddy. Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate it, fellas. Stay safe and enjoy the weekend.
You as well, Howard.
You too, man. Two-time Super Bowl champ, formerly of the Illini, but he won a couple with the Denver Broncos. It's Howard Griffith, Big Ten Network. All right, Axe Update is now. We'll hit the blast after that. Axe, take it away. What do you got, buddy? Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here. Good week on Tiki and Tierney. Wrap it up. Let's finish up strong. We'll get to the blast in a moment. But first, we answer our question brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And let's go out to Omaha, Nebraska. Robert writes and wonders, all right, guys, if you had to put a percentage on the NFL playing on time, what would it be? What about college football?
NFL playing on time?
Yeah.
I would say it's 50-50. Playing at all, I'd say it's like 90% they're going to play. On time, it could be that could be delayed a little bit.
Okay.
College, I'm less and less convinced.
Yeah.
I'm probably falling around 30%, 25%.
Yeah.
They're gonna play.
Football starting on time, I go a little higher than 50%. Not a ton. A little more enthusiastic than you or encouraged, I should say. What am I basing that on at this point?
Yeah.
Probably not a whole lot.
You know what? We'll know a lot once the preseason starts, BT.
For sure.
Like, once we see them play some preseason games, and if there's no issues, the fact they can't swap jerseys.
I know. But you see Sherman's grave. I don't know if that's in the blast, but Sherman talked about that. And if it's not in the blast, we could actually circle back to that. But good question. College, I'm with Tiki. It's far more ominous, the signs. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so we wrap it up. Good week. Snooki with a nice assist from Snooki. Keep us on the air. That was yesterday. If you miss it, that's got to make the sort of the highlights.
Zach Gill.
Right?
Zach talked about it on his show. Because I guess Tom or Mike or whoever reached out to Zach and said, look, you might have to like start your show now because I was nowhere near having power. And luckily, Nicole Snooki lives up the street from me and we're good friends. Our kids do cheer together. But we've known her since they first moved in here about six or seven years ago. But Zach did a piece on it on his show because he's a huge fan of the Jersey Shore.
And so who isn't?
I know.
Or who wasn't?
But Tracy sent it to Nicole. And Nicole wrote back. She's like, oh, he's so sweet. That's great. So I sent it to Zach and made his day.
Made his day?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's kind of cool.
All right. Let's get to the blast. Let's hit it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Right, here they come. Listen up. You hear it? The building, a little louder. The Jamal Adams trade rumors. This is a fun game, isn't it, Jets fans?
It's another week, another trade rumor.
Yeah, the rumors are swirling again. Seattle and the Niners seem to be all in at this point. Which of these NFC West teams needs him more?
You know, I'm going to say Seattle. I don't think the Jets would be – I mean, unless they can get, like, great give back for him, I don't think they should actually do this. But if I had to pick one of these teams, I'd say Seattle. It's been a while. Like, they have still going to have a good defense.
Uh-huh.
They have a good coaching staff. But it's been a while since they've had a dominant secondary player after the Legion of Boom. Most of those guys aged out or went other places. So I'm going to say Seattle. The 49ers were in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they could use them. Anybody could. But I think Seattle needs it more.
I would agree, especially if they don't retain Clowney. And it's probably a pretty small percentage that they do. How about this? Listen. You know, I would need a pick back as well. But, all right, Seattle, you want Jamal Adams, the best safety in the game? who in my opinion is one of the 10 best players in football defensively. Okay, you want him? We'll take Metcalf. No, I'm dead serious. We'll take Metcalf.
No deal.
That's fine. Then we'll go to the Niners. But we'll take Metcalf, and we'll take a first-round pick.
Oh, wow.
And then what we'll do is the money we were going to give Jamal, we will then sign Clowney. So, Jet fans, I ask you this. What's more appealing, Jamal Adams next year with no other additions or Metcalf and Clowney and Metcalf to go with Denzel from Baylor,
Mims,
the Jets took the second round.
Yeah, Mims.
Who's supposed to be a stud. I mean, you know what? As a Jet fan, I'll take that. I don't know if Seattle would, to your point, but that's what I'm trying for. Rajon Rondo, we've already hit this, so we can kind of gloss over it, but a horrendous look. Posted a photo of his hotel room. He's in Disney, obviously. Put it up on IG with the caption, Motel, I don't even know, what does that hun mean? I don't even, Motel 6 hun? At NBA? I'm honestly not sure what that means, but that's what he wrote. Is it a bad look for the NBA or is it a bad look for Rondo? It's a horrendous look for Rajon Rondo. It's not the NBA's fault. Listen, I wouldn't want to spend my honeymoon there. Just because I wanted to go somewhere exotic. We went to Costa Rica. But listen, we were going to Disney before the pandemic, and we were staying in one of those hotels.
Yeah.
I realize I'm not a point guard who's got $50 million in the bank, but it's money means nothing at this point. It's about sensibility, and it's about relatability. It's about reading the room. Read the room, Rondo. Read the room.
Yeah, it's not a bad look for the NBA. Room. This is what they're given. I mean, they're partnering with Disney to have this Orlando bubble restart in postseason. It's not like there's 25-star hotels down there. I know there's a couple of 5-star hotels in the Disney World resorts, but most of them are just really nice, places that families go and stay for, go to Disney World. So,
and by the way, you don't spend, 13. It's not like you're getting a log cabin in the woods.
That's right.
The idea is to get to the hotel, put down your luggage, and get out.
That's right.
And see the parks.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to go to Disney so bad. Man, I was so pumped about that. All right. Ja Morant unveiled his new Ja 12 logo earlier this week as he arrived in Orlando wearing a sweatshirt bearing the logo. Have players' personal brands gotten out of control? Somehow I didn't see this, so as you answer this, let me check it out.
Yeah, go check it out. I mean, it's all right. But have they gotten out of control? No. This is what social media and the world in 2020 allows these players to do. Really, it allows anybody to do this. If you get a big enough brand and have enough reach and enough influence, then you can do stuff like this. Making sweatshirts and t-shirts is not expensive. It's an easy endeavor. If you sell them, sell them through your personal, website, merchandise sales, etc., it's some decent revenue. I mean, maybe you don't need it and you give it to charity or whatever it may go through, but
yep.
I don't think it's out of control. I think this is just capitalism, man. This is America.
Yeah. I have no problem with this. I mean, years ago, I think I was on Twitter at this point, but I remember I had a website, and I hired a graphic designer to come up with, a cool, 3D BT logo.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really use it a ton, because then eventually I just moved into social media. It was easier to communicate that way, but yeah, if you want to make it pop, and that's, I mean, I'm looking at the logo, I think I'm looking at the Houston Rockets logo, or something that I've seen before a million times.
Foreshadowing.
Right? It's an okay logo, but in terms of a concept, go for it. If players' brands is part of the deal. All right, we all remember Cade Cunningham, the nation's number one recruit. He decided to remain at Oklahoma State. We weren't sure about that. Remember, they were banned from the 2021 postseason, but he said he's going to stay because of his head coach, Mike Boynton.
Mm-hmm.
Can Boynton turn the Cowboys into a consistent contender? I guess anybody really can if you get the right guy. Look what Coach Beard's done at Texas Tech.
Yeah, it's all about recruiting, BT.
It's recruiting, but it's also system.
Yeah.
Like, look at what your guy did at Virginia.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at
that's
Jay Wright did at Villanova.
The answer is yes. You can because you just have to have the right people buying into your system. And I don't know enough about Mike Boynton to know if he's going to, change the tenor of the world at Oklahoma State, but I do know that if you get the right kids and they all buy in and they're in it for the right reasons and not just to be in and out of a university, then you can turn a program around. Now, sustaining it is the hard part. Once you get to that peak, it's keeping there, which is the hard part. That's to be determined with anybody. It doesn't matter who you are.
But I'll tell you something else I think that is pretty important here. I think it's really important that Cade Cunningham delivers on I know they can't go to the postseason. I understand that. But if he's an absolute beast and as advertised, and even if he doesn't go number one, but he goes number two, he's like in the mix on draft night. He could go one, two, or three. That further entrenches Boynton. Like, Cole Anthony could very well wind up being a great pro. But Cole Anthony was a little underwhelming based on what we thought. We thought he might be the first overall pick back in the day.
Yeah, after those first couple of games, he was averaging 38.
Yep.
Like, come on, dude.
Yep, plus his dad's pedigree in North Carolina and all that. But if Cunningham is legit and, you know, goes for like 22 and 8 or whatever it might be, 23 and 9, and he goes one or two, then another five-star kid might say, you know what? All right, I see where we're going with this, and maybe one other kid might commit. And that's how you get some sustainability. And then you don't always need five stars once you get the ball rolling a little bit.
That's right.
All right, last one here. Teat, number five, Angels third baseman Anthony Rondon. Not a favor of piped-in crowd noise this season, saying it was stupid and that he would prefer music or even silence instead. Then used an interesting analogy to explain it.
It's like, I mean, you're looking at a pizza, but, you know, you're smelling a hamburger. It's like you hear noise, but you know nobody's in the stands. You don't see anybody, so... I think it was dumb.
Okay. Hmm. Would music or silence, I'm not even really feeling the analogy, but
yeah, I don't
would music or silence.
He tried.
He tried. Would it be better than fake crowd noise?
I think music would be better than fake crowd noise. Silence would be odd, but baseball's, I don't know, maybe not like crowd noise, but just like ambient sound.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
But I could see music. That would be that could be an interesting way to do it. But I agree. Like the fake roars are just, I don't know. They're corny. They work in soccer on television, but I'm sure in real, if you're actually there, it's odd as a player.
Well, let me see if you can hear this. I saw this on Twitter earlier today, right? I got a jam. It's from my computer, so who knows? I saw this on Bleacher Report, and this is the Red Sox experimenting. Let me hit pause. This is the Red Sox experimenting with some of that ambient noise. I'm going to see if you guys can hear this.
Yeah, so it's just the ambient noise.
Yeah.
It's not crowd noise, not a roar.
No, wait. So, like, I guess if a guy goes yard and it clears the green monster, you play it as he's rounding the bases. I would actually be okay with that. These guys got to lighten up. I'm sure he was kind of kidding. Mm-hmm. But I have news for Rendon. It's not really so much for Rendon as much as it is the presentation on TV.
That's right.
You know, so.
That's right.
And I'm all for it. You were less enthusiastic, even going back to the soccer conversation with that canned noise. Listen,
it was a football conversation, remember? Because, like, the guys backed up and it's like, you're not really feeling crowd noise.
Right.
I heard it on the soccer. I heard it on the Bundesliga. And I was like, I actually don't mind it.
It's not bad.
No, it's not.
I hear you. Teak, have a great weekend, man. We're late. We got to roll. I'll see you Monday, kid.
You too, brother.
Great job this week. Everybody have an outstanding weekend. You're probably wet right now, so stay dry due to the tropical weather. And hang in there safe, sensible, sane. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.